With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
What's going on, Dodger fans? Happy opening day week in Los Angeles, that is, because your Los Angeles Dodgers officially kick off the 2024 season at Dodger Stadium with their first set of games against the St. Louis Cardinals. Kevin Kline in the house, David Rosenthal is here, and Jake Reiner. We've got an exciting episode today. We're going to preview and drop all types of hot takes and predictions for the Dodgers 2024 season. We are presented by FanSided and TickPick. If you're following along right now live on YouTube, hit that like and subscribe button as we begin. So we kind of got lucky as we're recording Monday, March 25th, because Shohei Ohtani left us quite a present. We're going to dive into his press conference right now as he addressed the whole situation with his former interpreter, Ipe, the big fraud. Who knows who's telling the truth? Social media is going crazy, but all the evidence right now is in favor of Shohei Ohtani having no involvement in this gambling speculation whatsoever. So let's dive into it right now. He addressed the media Monday afternoon with his new interpreter, former Kenta Maeda interpreter, still with the Dodgers organization, Will Ironton, who helped translate all this for Shohei Ohtani, who led it off with some keywords like saddened and shocked by someone that he trusted who did this to him. Shohei Ohtani cleared all allegations by saying he's never bet on baseball or any other sports for that matter. Ipe stole money from his bank accounts and told lies in order to obtain those funds. Shohei Ohtani also said that this all went down in Korea after the first game. Ohtani had no idea that Ipe even bet on sports, had no idea he was in debt. There was some lost in translation. Ipe pulled Shohei Ohtani aside in one of the hotel rooms, and that's when things really started to break down. By the time the truth was revealed, Shohei Ohtani was just baffled at what really transpired, and that's that Ipe confessed to him that he stole a bunch of money, anywhere between $1 million to $4.5 million to pay off his gambling debts. And he lied to his friend, his coworker, his boss, Shohei Ohtani, in order to obtain these funds. So before I go even further into that, let's pass it off to David Rosenthal on his thoughts on this whole matter.
I mean, I think Ohtani is telling the truth first and foremost. I don't think he's definitely not the one who was betting. I've read the story. I've read the contradicting statements from Ipe and his team and all that stuff. Sounds like a lot got lost in translation. But the bottom line, in hell, he was the one placing any kind of bets. But frankly, even if he was, that's not disallowed by MLB. He wasn't betting on baseball if it was him, which it wasn't. The only thing I would criticize if it was him was that he lied to us now. So that tells me that he's telling the truth here, because it wasn't even disallowed by MLB. It's in the CBA that it's frowned upon to bet on other sports, but not outright illegal. I think this is anyone who's gambled knows this is a classic case of you erase your deficit, and that always ends like this did. I think Ipe just with an all-time career fumble here. I mean, there is no reason for him to be betting that much money on anything when you are Otani's translator and best friend. It just makes no sense. The only possible speculation that I could see myself is that possibly he did know about it and did bail him out. That is the only extent that I could see this going in terms of Otani's involvement. That's it.
Yeah, and I don't even think Otani's even at that extent at this point, because that just looked like a bad look, because he addressed those speculations and said he was in the dark completely and had no idea. Ipe was a sports gambler, had no idea about his debts. And I don't think he'd call him essentially a liar and a theft if Ipe didn't just go behind his back and steal what could be up to over $1 million. Jake Reiner reporting live from New Orleans. There
hey guys.
He is.
Yeah, I'm in New Orleans, but I've been following along just as intently as you guys have. I've been reading every single account that I can get my hands on, because I really wanted to learn as many details about this as possible. And I don't think that most people are doing that. And I think that's an issue. What's really egregious about all of this and what Ipe has done is he's basically tarnished Otani's reputation for the time being, because regardless of whether Otani, you know, ends up not being held responsible or is cleared by all of this, which I believe he will be cleared by the time this investigation ends. There are people out there who will never, ever walk back their feelings or ever change their mind or ever, you know, see the evidence and say, you know what? I believe him. I believe Otani. He's given us no reason to not believe him at this point. He hasn't had any track record to support the behavior people are alleging he's done. So for me, it's until we learn more about what is, you know, what the investigation says, we can't really say for sure what exactly happened. I mean, because here's the thing, what Otani said today was basically that Ipe stole money from him. And the one missing link that I am curious about is how that happened. How was Ipe able to get Otani's money to pay this alleged illegal bookmaker? That to me is the missing link. I don't know how that occurred, because when you're transferring that much money, you got to get authorization from the person that has that money, as far as I understand it. So how that happened, how Ipe was able to steal that money, was Otani tricked into giving that money to Ipe under the guise of something else? So All of that stuff are details we don't know. So right now, I'm just going based off what we've learned so far. And what we've learned so far is that, according to Otani, he was basically duped and swindled. And That's unfortunate, because moving into opening day, all we should be talking about is the hype around Shohei Otani being a Dodger and what that means for Major League Baseball. And instead, we're stuck here having this conversation about a guy that has literally a spotless record up until this point, and now everyone's hurling all this shit at him. And I just find it very unfortunate. And I blame Ipe for this, because of his actions and what he's done up until this point, it's basically tarnished Otani's reputation. And that sucks, because now that's going to follow him basically throughout the entire season, no doubt. But who knows how much longer after that. So it's a very unfortunate situation. But I'm glad that Otani came out there and basically said, I was lied to. And he looked pretty sad about the whole situation.
Yeah, he did.
Me and Zach Sloan, who joined me a few days ago when this whole thing first broke out, we kind of dove into some speculation on how this could have occurred. And I mean, even Michael Carrillo brought it up. Ipe is with Shohei Ohtani all the time. So honestly, I don't think it's too hard for him to trick Ohtani into saying, yeah, just, you know, sign this for me, please. Little did Shohei know, could have been an opportunity when he was distracted. That's when some of the money wired over. Because I imagine that Ipe kind of helps handle Ohtani's finances, especially when they're on the road. I'm sure it's not the first time he's authorized Ipe to provide a transaction on his behalf. And I mean, honestly, all the evidence right now just shows Ipe's a pathological liar. Here's a guy who lied about attending the UC Riverside. Props to Ipe, yeah. I guess, for choosing kind of a low-key UC. He could have been pretty arrogant and went with USC or UCLA. No, but
great fake choice by him.
Right. It took him 17 years to get exposed about not attending UC Riverside. So this guy's a con man. He is legitimately a con man.
That to me is one of the craziest details, because I agree with David. If you're going to lie about a UC, you know, go with kind of the under the radar UCs. But for 6 years he was with the Angels. How did that not come up
there
at any point?
Fault. It's their fault. Not
how did
that
not come up? I don't understand how that did not come up at any point. That and anybody from the university, did nobody notice that was in the media guide? I mean, that blows my mind.
Well, okay, I want to say one thing about what you said, Jake, about this following him around. I don't think it's going to follow him around. I think this is going to be a clear, cut and dry case of him not even managing his finances. Yes, there's like a wire transfer or whatever. None of these guys actually manage their own finances. Look at all the cases of past famous celebrities, people getting stolen from by their most trusted accountant. I don't think this is going to be a very simple, cut and dry case. And the only people who are still going to talk about this, and it's going to follow him around, are the people who think we didn't land on the moon, the Astros fans who think nothing wrong, Twitter unhinged bullshit you've ever seen in your entire life. So, no, it's not going to follow people around. Stupid people are going to keep talking about it, but it's not going to follow him around.
I know. I understand that there are those fringe people, but there are guys like, you know, John Boy, who's been kind of,
well,
I don't
he's
know,
an idiot.
It seems pretty fishy. But you've got those guys out there who have a big following, who continue to peddle this stuff and don't even wait for all the details to come out. I know we're not all responsible human beings out there, especially on social media, but like that, those are the people that have a following that people respect and respect the opinions of, that I fear will stick to him. And obviously, I mean, the memes are just going to run rampant all year long.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I really think this will like blow over way sooner than people think.
I hope you're right.
You got Pete Rose even out there throwing shade at
Shohei. Oh my God, Pete.
We live in a world now where Ben Verlander is on our side and we're not going to accept him probably, but now we have Ben Verlander defending the Dodgers tooth and nail. He's defended Yamamoto, and he's always going to defend his boy, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, well, the only reason he's defending the Dodgers is because Ohtani's on the team.
Correct. But yeah, this is a mess for Ipe.
But Jared Carrabas, I must say, I have to give him props. He did come out and basically said he has no reason to believe that Ohtani lied. He believes him. So there are people out there who have that kind of following in the baseball world that are coming out and saying, you know, I do believe this guy. And I'm glad for that, because we live in kind of a society right now where nobody believes facts, and they are just kind of, they'll hear something, you know, that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and they'll dispute that. So it's a very difficult time to have a scandal or allegations like this, because
we're stupid. We are a stupid population who believes
it doesn't matter
anything.
What's true or not anymore. Like, nobody cares about that. That's the biggest problem I have with all this, because I didn't believe for a second that Ohtani was this sort of degenerate gambler. I mean, that doesn't track. But you've got all these hordes of people out there that are chomping at the bit for some type of scandal. For, ooh, the Dodgers, Ohtani, their prized possession. Everything's going to blow up in their face now and all this stuff. And obviously, the Dodgers have that huge target on their back, which we knew. But this scandal just kind of adds to it.
I wouldn't even call it a scandal. I really wouldn't.
I mean, it is. It's a federal investigation.
I mean, whatever, dude. Scandal. Yeah, whatever, man. It's like guy was gambling and he sucked at gambling. That's not a scandal. If he was good at gambling, we wouldn't even be talking about this
scandal because he stole millions of dollars, potentially.
He allegedly stole millions of dollars. Yeah. And he allegedly used a little bookie.
He's going to spend a few years behind bars, and then he'll be back flipping burgers at UC Riverside for the college students.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to. I don't think he's going to jail, dude.
They're not going
to welcome him. Of course he's going to jail.
They're not going to welcome him at UC Riverside.
They never did it in the first place. I don't think. I really don't think he is going to go to jail.
Maybe he'll go to UC Irvine to become an anteater.
If you're going to be charged with stealing money.
Well, he's not charged with anything yet.
I said if. If he's charged with stealing money and he lied, he's got lying to potentially authorities. He's got theft. He lied about his university. So that's lying. That's fraud across the board. Best case scenario, I think 1 year. We're looking at 1 year minimum. Or 1 year. Yeah, best case scenario for him is 1 year, like at the most. But I think he'll be in prison at least 1 year.
I'm setting the over under at 2 years, and I'm taking the under. Even if that's insensitive, I don't really care.
You know, Rebecca Michelle David is commenting in our chat, poor UC Riverside. Shout out to UC Riverside. You know what? You should be upset with Ipe because he brought this on them. He brought this on them, not us.
I don't think it's for UC Riverside. If anything, they're getting more exposure.
Maybe. Yeah. The other point I wanted to make, because people are criticizing Ohtani for not taking any questions today. And people are using that as a sign of, oh, he must be guilty because he's not taking questions. He's not being an open book. Let me tell you something. He did this at the advisement of his legal counsel, because guess what? It's a very sensitive matter, and there's a federal investigation going on. So he has to be very careful with what he can say. I commend him for even going in front of the press and doing what he did, as opposed to just staying silent the whole time, which was well within his right. So for him to get up there and read a statement translated by Will Ireton, which, by the way, shout out to Will Ireton, former translator for Kenta Maeda, if you guys remember. I commend Ohtani for doing something like that. I don't think it has anything to do with him being guilty or innocent. And it's at the direction of his legal counsel, because he doesn't want to say anything or answer a question or take a question the wrong way or word something that could potentially hurt him down the road. So I want to dispel that as well.
I just can't believe this all happened in Korea. What a very uncomfortable first night that must have been. Way to kill them, buzz. Freaking,
I know. Okay. After the first win of the season.
Well, opening day is coming up soon. Real opening day.
That's all I got on Ipe. Yeah, we can move on to the second opening day, which begins Thursday. These stupid exhibition games are annoying. Thank goodness that they're about to be done. What a waste of time. The Dodgers and Cardinals kick off Thursday, 1 o'clock afternoon at Dodger Stadium. Tyler Glasnow will take the ball for the Dodgers. He's their game one starter, followed by Bobby Miller, then Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Rounding out that rotation will be James Paxton and Gavin Stone. So wanted to get your guys' thoughts on how you think this Dodgers rotation will look. We know that Walker Buehler will return at some point. Emmett Sheehan will throw the balls and be in the Dodgers thick of things, whether it's rotation or bullpen soon. And then whether he's healthy or not, Clayton Kershaw should return to the Dodgers maybe in the second half. And I guess Dustin May exists.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing that jumps out to me is they, whatever you want to call it, they pushed back Yamamoto a slot. So you can look back at his last three starts, one in Korea and then two in spring training. He doesn't look good. I mean, the stuff is there, but the execution is horrendous. So there's something to watch there. I think everybody else has kind of been pretty steady except for Stone today. But I mean, that's what I'm paying attention to. Obviously, I was the one out of the three of us who said it's going to take him a minute to get used to this. It's a new ball. It's a new place. It's a new country. It's a new league. He is a rookie. And I got pushback that's for saying that. But he is an absolute rookie. And I think we're seeing that now. But if there's one team that can kind of fix whatever the hell's going on, it's Mark Pryor and the Dodgers. So I'm strictly focused on Yamamoto right now. Glasnow looks good. Bobby Miller looks really good. And I'm fine with the back end of the rotation. But that is the guy to watch.
I'm completely unbothered by Yamamoto's spring training and his first start, precisely because of what David was just saying about the adjustments he has to make to this new league. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be one of the best pitchers in the National League this year when it's all said and done. So I'm not worried. I know people were getting all bent out of shape because he got rocked by the Padres. I understand the concerns, but honestly, like, let's give him a few starts before we make our decision on Yamamoto. I love the fact that Glasnow is the game one starter. I like that he's going up against Miles Michaelis, given what Miles Michaelis said about the checkbook Dodgers. I think that was such a stupid comment for him to make ahead of opening day, given this juggernaut of a Dodgers lineup, given the fact that he's a right-handed pitcher and the Dodgers crush right-handed pitching, as we know. It's just a recipe for an absolute blowout against Miles Michaelis. So I'm curious to see how that pans out, because like Mookie Betts said, and everyone got on Mookie Betts for saying that it's going to be everyone's World Series when they play the Dodgers. It looks like that's what's going to happen. Yeah. The Dodgers are going to get everyone's best. They're going to be playing up to the Dodgers, and the Dodgers know that, and they're prepared for it. And the one thing that I was encouraged by in that Korea series is not just the win in game one, but the offensive output in game two. The Dodgers pitching was horrendous that day, Yamamoto included. Everyone they threw out there gave up runs, couldn't get through a clean inning. It was a disaster from the bullpen side. But the offense put up 11 runs, and I like that. And I think that that's going to be a recipe for success. If the Dodgers get down, they're going to be coming back in a lot of these games because they have the offense to do it.
I'm not worried about Yamamoto either. Something seemed off. I don't know if it was the jet lag or the stadium, something with the lighting, but nobody seemed to have really good command. Tyler Glasnow didn't have great command. He couldn't even throw the slider accurately. Yamamoto, obviously, Yu Darvish was all over the place. And then half the guys coming out of our bullpen, they seemed pretty inconsistent as well. So I'm going to chalk that up and let me see how they look in Los Angeles. So I think what they're doing with Yamamoto, they're just pushing him back. Clearly, they wanted to help something with him mechanically. And we'll wait and see. Give him like three or four starts, because it's not the first time we've seen a high-priced Dodgers pitcher come out of the gate slow. So it's way too early to even have any discussions of concerns that other people might be having on Yamamoto. But yeah, this is probably the most excited I'm on with this Dodgers rotation in years. And that's pretty crazy with Kershaw and Buehler not even healthy. But Glasnow is going to be a stud. Bobby Miller looks like he's about to break out. And I honestly think James Paxton is such a sneaky under-the-radar pickup. I wouldn't shock me if James Paxton flirts with a mid three ERA or even better in the first half. We might be talking about James Paxton as a potential back end all-star if he's really on. I think people just kind of sleep on Paxton. Half of it's because he's on the aisle a lot, but you know, half the time is just he's on bad teams.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Anything else you guys want to add with this Dodgers rotation, or are we good to move on?
I think we're good.
I'm good. I'm just, you know, I hope they can stay healthy. That's going to be the only key.
Yeah. And I think Gavin, I'll have more on Gavin Stone later, but I think he's here to stay. Bullpen, the way it's looking right now, Evan Phillips, Joe Kelly, Ryan Brazier, Daniel Hudson, Kyle Hurt, Michael Grove, Alex Desia, and Ryan Yarbrough. With obviously Blake Treinen and Brustar Gratterall, who will be back in the Dodgers bullpen the moment they're healthy. General thoughts on the bullpen and kind of what you look forward to this upcoming season, or this current season, I guess.
Well, the bullpen looked amazing in game one and terrible in game two so far. And I think in game one was sort of the blueprint for how it is going to go. The bridge to Evan Phillips is there. And I was really, really impressed with what Joe Kelly did, Ryan Brazier, even though he's kind of struggled in these spring training, these extended spring training games or whatever against the Angels. But Brazier was great. Joe Kelly was great. Daniel Hudson and Evan Phillips. And I think that core can really hold it together, like Kevin said, until Gratterall comes back. The guys that I'm a bit worried about, well, I'm actually not even worried about Kyle Hurt, even though he kind of struggled a little bit. I think he'll be fine. He's got nasty stuff. But the guy one of the guys I'm worried about is Vessia. Yeah. He just, I don't know. It's hard to tell with him because when he first came up, it was a bit of a struggle. He couldn't find the plate. He went back down, came back up. I believe it was 2021. And then he was lights out. And then it's just been kind of an up and down career for him with the Dodgers. So I hope he can kind of settle down, but I haven't been too encouraged with what I've seen from him. Yarbrough has good stuff, but he's very hittable when he's right around the plate. And that's a little concerning. I mean, he's a soft tossing lefty who can get hit pretty damn hard. And he's awful when he can't find the plate. So the bullpen did make me a little uneasy in that second game. The fact that we didn't have one guy that could figure it out. But again, it's like you take it with a grain of salt. They traveled all the way to Korea. Who knows what was going on there? You had the Ohtani Ipe stuff swirling around. So I'm going to give it time with this bullpen.
Kyle Hurt's going to be really.
Yeah, my only concern is Vessia. I mean, that's kind of my only. They're basically put all their eggs in his basket in terms of a left-handed reliever. Yeah. They have no one else who's really done it at that high level from the left side. There's a couple, you know, you can get Gus Varland up there if you want. Matt Gage, I believe, is on the 40-man. So it's pretty much Vessia's show until it.
I mean, Varland's it righty, so.
That's also relevant. So it's even worse than I thought in terms of left-handed relievers. So can you name even one other guy that they could even bring up besides Gage?
TJ McFarland.
Who the hell is even that?
If he doesn't opt out.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so McFarland basically is backing up Vessia, which there is absolutely zero left-handed relief pitching depth. That is my concern. That's it. Treinen and Gratterall is going to be back relatively soon. And I'm kind of looking at FireEisen with a different pair of glasses because we kind of waited for him all of last year, signed him for this year. So it's been like a 2-year buildup for this guy. So if he's just like the Battle of Midway, then it's going to be a big disappointment.
Yeah, fortunately, there's enough depth right now that we don't even need FireEisen. So he needs to figure his shit out in the minors because he was just awful his entire Dodgers tenure so far. But I honestly do think this is the Kyle Hurt breakout season. And I wouldn't be shocked if he's pitching high leverage for the Dodgers later on this year. Chalk it up to that Korea thing, like I was saying a few minutes ago, because in spring training, he was absolutely nasty. And he's got the ability, because he's a starter by trade, he can pitch multiple innings, and that would be kind of a huge boost out of the Dodgers bullpen. We know Michael Grove's going to kick rocks soon once Gratterall and Trinan are healthy. Daniel Hudson, the thing with him is always just, can he stay healthy? It's an old bullpen. Ryan Brazier, he looked awesome in his one appearance in Korea, but other than that, he's been pretty hit or miss in spring training, and I do feel like the regression bell is going to hit him pretty hard. But we know Evan Phillips is a lockdown guy, and Joe Kelly is, if he's on, he's one of the best high leverage guys as well. I don't honestly trust Vesey and Yarbrough at all. So the Dodgers are going to have to figure out the left-handed reliever situation, but overall on paper, it's a strong bullpen. And if River Ryan can get healthy, you're looking at a sleeper guy, hopefully to pitch some innings for the Dodgers, whether it's a starter or reliever role.
How much longer of a leash are they going to give Michael Grove? Like, how much more of a chance are they going to give to him? Because it is rough. It is a rough watch. They brought him in after Yamamoto, and it was as if they kept Yamamoto in. I mean, he just cannot get guys out. He has good stuff. We always say that. And we can see it. I mean, he's got great movement on his pitches, and it looks as if he was able to hone it in or figure something out, that he could actually be a really effective pitcher. But man, I mean, they just keep running him out there, and I get it. He's a guy you can call upon. He doesn't get hurt and all that, and he can come in and give you a spot start, but they're not quality innings here.
This guy is the luckiest pitcher alive. He keeps getting a job because other people get hurt. Ryan Pepiot was supposed to be the fifth starter. He got hurt, so they gave Michael Grove the fifth spot. This year, he was easily going to start the year in AAA. Both Trinan and Gratterall got hurt, so they had no choice but to put Grove on this roster. So to answer your question, he's not going to survive the season. He'll be gone. I also think Ryan Yarbrough won't survive the season either. I don't think his stuff translates as a high leverage reliever, and he doesn't have any minor league options. So at some point, I think Yarbrough gets DFA'd. I think Michael Grove gets traded or lives in the AAA. Those are the two guys I think are really on the chopping block for the Dodgers.
Yeah. I mean, it's time for Grove to like make himself useful by now. They've given him every opportunity possible and really more.
Position players wise, we know the starters. We've got Will Smith, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Gavin Lux, Max Muncy, outfield of Altman, Teoscar Hernandez, and Jason Hayward. Bench-wise, Kike, Chris Taylor, Miguel Rojas, Austin Barnes. I think that's everybody. General overview of this offense. Got any predictions on any hitters, defense, anything? Any hitter you want to spotlight to start this off?
Go ahead, David.
I mean, my general statement is I think the defense is going to be a lot better than people think it's going to be. Gavin Lux, surprise appearance in Korea, by the way. I was told he was gone in Oklahoma City, so I'm shocked he made the trip to Korea.
Hold on, hold on.
Starting second baseman there.
You came on this podcast the last time, and you threw a whole temper tantrum how he still needs to be the Dodgers shortstop, and this is basically an organizational failure that they gave up on him. And the defense hasn't been great. Let's be real. Max Muncy has two errors.
It hasn't been bad. It hasn't been great, but it hasn't been bad either.
You already have three errors.
Well, I haven't counted one of these games to anything. So okay. No, it hasn't. But no, I think he will be this. I think they should have given him way more rope at shortstop. But it looks like he's going to be the second baseman now, which is fine. As I said on the last podcast, he's proven he can do that defensively and offensively. But no, this offense is gonna score an absurd amount of runs, and if they don't, Andrew Friedman should quit. because you can't do any better than what he's done offensively.
They are going to score an absurd amount of runs. I already mentioned the ability for this team to come back. And what the Dodgers tend to do, if they don't kind of jump out to a lead or put runs on the board in the first couple innings, if their offense is dormant, let's say for 5-6 innings, we know that at a moment's notice, they can explode for a crooked number. So I'm very excited with the potential of this offense, especially at the top with Betts, Otani, and Freeman. That is just going to be electric all season long, especially with Mookie Betts. I'm expecting big things from Mookie Betts. I'll withhold my prediction for him when we get a little later in the show. But my one concern for this offense is its inability to hit left-handed pitching. And we kind of have seen this a little bit in the early parts of these first two games, especially in game two. And the last time I was on the podcast with Kevin, we talked about how teams are going to stack these lefties against the Dodgers. We kind of saw the Padres with this blueprint. And granted, the rosters were expanded in Korea, so they had a plethora of relievers. But I was shocked at how many fucking lefties they had in that Padres bullpen.
Just
they
Tim trotted. Hill variants.
It was insane how many left-handed pitchers they had.
Matsui, right? They used him in both games, I believe.
Yeah, Matsui, Morahone. I mean, I can't even name all the lefties on their team. But
they got Peralta. He's a pretty much he's their high leverage guy.
They're gonna. I feel like teams are gonna do this, and I'm a little worried about that. Now we do have both Hernandezes who are good at hitting left-handed pitching, Teoscar and Kike. So that's good. Chris Taylor can hit left-handed pitching. But what do you guys think about this lineup versus left-handed pitching? Are you concerned, or is it kind of too early to kind of be concerned?
I mean, I think it's still too early. Losing JD Martinez obviously takes a big hit because he's a lefty destroyer. So Shohei Ohtani, who's done it in the past, he's going to have to step up and hit lefties pretty well. Mookie Betts is a right-handed bat. He's tended to crush lefties the last couple seasons. Not worried there. Chris Taylor has been pretty serviceable. Not the same all-star Chris Taylor that we got right before the contract, but he's been perfectly fine. You know, they're going to probably platoon Lux and Rojas for a little bit. So Miguel Rojas is going to have to do Miami Marlins-like things against lefties, or otherwise, what's the value in Rojas? Will Smith's a right-handed bat. He should be able to hit lefties. And obviously, you mentioned his name, Teoscar Hernandez. This is where he has to thrive. He has to be the lefty bopper. This is a big bat that they added in their lineup. And I honestly feel like once he gets into a groove, I would not be surprised if Teoscar starts off a little slow. But I think once we get into summer, he's going to be lightning red hot. So I'm not too worried.
That's the guy. They need Teoscar Hernandez to hit lefties. That's why they paid him. When you had essentially Teoscar Hernandez light on the roster already in Chris Taylor, and you go out and pay Teoscar Hernandez, who just does everything to an extreme degree that Chris Taylor does offensively, that's what you're counting on. So if I was Dave Roberts, I would fuck up the lineup against left-handed pitchers. I would move everybody around everywhere. Don't let him plan for this cookie cutter lineup. And the worst possible left-handed pitcher you're facing, the more you move the lineup around. Because as we've seen since I've been watching the Dodgers, the worse pitcher, the better they do against the Dodgers if they're left-handed. So something's got to change, because we're all sick of this bullshit where they just can't hit like Eric Lauer, who's like 55 years old at this point. So hit Teoscar Hernandez third, hit someone else fourth, mix it up a bit.
Maybe clean up. I trust Freddie.
I said third for a reason.
Well, I would bat Freddie third, but I catch your drift. He's got to establish himself as the fourth or fifth hitter against lefties. You know, Will Smith will be up there. Teoscar's got to hit in front of Muncy. And speaking of Muncy, I wanted to get back to Muncy, because honestly, I'm disappointed with Max Muncy. He had like a million runners on base and in scoring position against the Padres, and he stunk every time. And defensively, he's looked pretty bad at third as well. If it's not going to be Muncy who they shake up this infield, I still think some drastic, catastrophic moves are coming where they're going to really shake up this defensive infield. Because honestly, I'm still not impressed. I haven't seen Mookie really make one phenomenal play yet at shortstop. I feel like every 50-50 play has gone against him. In his defense, he hasn't been able to train for that position. And Gavin Lux can be fine at second base, but I really do think they're going to die on the left side of this infield if Mookie Betts and Max Muncy are covering those bases. I just don't see it working out.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to that. Like, he's the third baseman. This is our guy. So he's going to be playing third unless the worst third baseman defensively you've seen in the last decade. Start getting on board with him at third and Lux at second, because that's what's going to happen. There's not just this random trade that Andrew Friedman is holding over their head. Willy Adames, fucking who knows who else. It's not how this is going to work. If it's a complete catastrophe by midseason at the deadline, then we can talk about it. But they're not holding out for some mystery trade. That's not. These are the starters. Those are the guys.
Muncy looked pretty atrocious in Korea at third base. I mean, there were some plays that just it was just tough to watch. I mean, he tried to short hop a few balls. It just went right under his glove. But yeah, I mean, you know, we got to lock in. I mean, he did slim down in the offseason. He was working on his defense. I hope that actually comes to fruition and we start to see some improvements, but it did not make me feel very confident watching those games in Korea. But like David said, he's our third baseman. That's it. It's not like you're going to go out and get someone else because you're going to trade Muncy. I mean, the guy's going to hit you 30 home runs and drive in 100 runs. You know,
if Miguel Vargas gets his shit together, I'll play him over Muncy if it's going to be catastrophic. But fire.
You're not playing Miguel Vargas over Max Muncy. That's insane.
I will if the defense makes him unplayable. But
it's never made him unplayable. Yeah,
I'm glad you're not making the decisions because that's just not happening.
You were happy with Muncy's defense at third last season?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that his bat is so much more valuable than Miguel Rojas's glove.
It should be.
If
it's the Muncy's bat that we saw in Korea, then you can't justify him being in the lineup. But obviously this is an overreaction two games
you can't get too high or too low after those two games.
I'm just saying that if the defense is going to be this inconsistent all season long, we're going to have to sacrifice some offense for some consistency in the defensive aspect.
I don't mind a late game substitution. That'll entertain.
Yeah. They're going to have to get creative overblown. Because the defense is the biggest weakness for this Dodgers team. If it's not the pitching, it's not the hitting, it's the defense. And we already saw that throughout spring training. We saw it in Korea. They scored 11 runs and they still gave up 15.
That wasn't the defense. I mean, the
part of it absolutely was the defense.
Lux and Muncy are under the spotlight right now defensively. Everybody's looking at them. Everybody's watching every single play. That's not going to be the case once the season starts. They just got to get in a groove, play the game, 30 games in a month. It's going to be fine. Okay, everybody, it's going to be fine. Calm down.
Shout out to Moose 1032 for the super chat. Appreciate you guys for eating haters for lunch with this Otani thing. David ate John Heyman for lunch. So thank you for your service.
No problem, Moose.
Appreciate it, Moose.
And that's what you get with super chats. You get a special spotlight. So if you drop a super chat early on in the show, we'll answer your questions or shout you out. So thank you again, Moose. We will take some questions and answers in a few minutes, but we still got some previewing to do here and some predictions. My biggest prediction for the position players is that Andy Pajas is going to get called up midseason. And I honestly think a guy like Jason Hayward is going to regress and Pajas is going to naturally slip into the starting right field role, maybe be a platoon guy second half. And I think he's got the talent to potentially insert himself.
In that last comment, bro. Come on.
That's what I'm laughing at.
It doesn't matter what he looks like. It doesn't matter. He's going to hit 30 home runs. He's going to drive in 100 runs, and defense is not going to be that bad. All right? He can handle his own at third. Doesn't matter what his belt size is. All right?
Oh, God.
It's not a Pablo Sandoval situation. All right? Let's
I can't tone believe it down. Back with the fucking Giants.
I can. He's a circus animal they're parading to get fans in now. They have no fans.
I have a prediction about one of our hitters. So we talked about Muncy. I mean, I think Muncy is going to get a lot of RBI opportunities, obviously, with the top three getting on base a lot. But another guy that's going to have a lot of opportunities is Will Smith.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a big year for him. I'm really expecting a lot. He's going to be hitting fourth a lot in this lineup the majority of the time. I'm expecting a career year from him. 25 home runs and 90 RBIs. That's what I'm expecting from Will
Smith. Is that a career?
It would be. He's only had as high as like 80, 85, 80, 87. So, and I think he's hit 24 home runs. I don't know if he's hit 25, but anyway, I'm expecting a big year from him. So at least 25 home runs and 90 plus RBIs from him. He looked great in that Korea series. He really, that was one of the guys that was just hitting the ball all over the place. In that game two loss, he had like four hits, drove in a bunch of runs. He and Mookie Betts were carrying the offense that night.
So he's had 25 home runs once, but yeah, he never drove in 90 RBIs.
Yeah.
You know why Will Smith looked so good in that series? Because he was fresh. And the Dodgers need to figure out how to keep Will Smith fresh throughout the season because the catcher position is taxing. And so if Austin Barnes is going to be the Austin Barnes that we had last season, then see a Barnes and bring up Hunter Fiducia, because I don't think the Dodgers can afford to have a fatigued, injured Will Smith playing 5 days out of the week. It's not going to be to his benefit.
That's the one anti Austin Barnes defense that I'll accept, because I think you're right. I mean, you know, I understand why they're keeping him around. I mean, we've talked about it, the clubhouse thing, you know, the fact that, you know, the guys really like him. They call him the captain, which I don't know how much captaining he actually does.
Too many bad. We have too many really bad baseball captains.
Yeah.
Miggy Rowe and Austin Barnes don't combine for one solid hitter.
Right.
And that's too much captaining, way too much captaining for my liking. You have Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman, and Clayton Kershaw. Why are we having these two guys be the captains? What is that? What are we doing? Cut them loose. I've seen enough to say if you can upgrade the position by midseason, you do it. No questions asked. And I've said on this podcast, it doesn't matter. And I agree with that. But I do think in the playoffs, if Will Smith gets hurt, it does matter. So if they're going to be – their lone contribution is that they wear a little C on their proverbial chest, I've seen enough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if they're not going to use Austin Barnes how I would use him, which is turn him into an elite bunter.
They don't believe
that. No, they're not doing that.
I mean, it's stupid not to. I think it's moronic not to. But if you're not going to do that, which it seems like they're not going to do that, then I think you got to part ways. He's an automatic out.
Send him to Oakland.
Yeah, he's an automatic out, and that's just unacceptable.
My one critique for Freddie Freeman is that I'm disappointed he doesn't really want to step up to be a vocal leader outside the clubhouse, at least. He's all smiles. He's talking about cookies. He's hugs and dancing. Where was the tough guy Freddie Freeman that existed all those years in Atlanta? All of a sudden, he becomes a Los Angeles Dodger, now he's a soft teddy bear.
When was he ever tough guy Freddie in Atlanta?
Every year.
No.
He literally, there were multiple articles. Acuna apparently didn't like him because he was too tough on him. Freddie Freeman would get on guys if they took a day off, because Freddie Freeman, as you know, is that mentality, workhorse, I got to play every day. I haven't seen that with the Dodgers. He's now all smiles and hugs, and he's reunited with Jason Hayward, and he said, yeah, Jason, buddy, you lead the charge. I'll just hang out and eat some snickerdoodles.
Look, I don't care. If he's going to hit like that and play defense like that, I don't care. Mookie Betts is the guy who should be doing that. 100 million percent. He was here before Freddie. He was the first guy they paid. 13-year deal, whatever it is. That's the guy that needs to be captaining this team. Not Miguel Rojas, dude. Do you see that Jazz Chisholm quote about Miguel Rojas?
Yeah. It's
fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, Mookie's done more as a leader than Freeman, and they're both future Hall of Famers. I just need to see a little bit more from Freddie Freeman.
I mean, it's like not rocket science here. The best players on this team should be the leaders of this team. I mean, that it's just so, it's so simple. It's like it's tough for Austin Barnes to be a vocal leader and rallying the troops when he can't hit his weight.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I think Ohtani will eventually morph as the leader, but he's still trying to find an interpreter, so I have to give him a pass.
And a new bookie.
I don't think he wants a bookie. But yeah, the Dodgers are I think chemistry wise, obviously they're good, but Aaron Vaughn. So this is the question that kind of will round out our hitter segment. I think it's pretty funny. Who strikes out more this year? Teoscar, Outman, or Muncy?
So you needed to put Chris Taylor as an option as well there, because I think Chris Taylor strikes out the second most, but I'm going to say Teoscar leads the National League in strikeouts.
Wow.
Okay.
But also plays well. Like, his outs are just all going to be
strikeouts. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I agree with David. If he's going to play every day, there's just by natural chance he's going to lead the team in strikeouts.
Yeah, I would like to go a different way, but I too agree with Teoscar.
But since I wrote it down as one of my predictions, I think Teoscar Hernandez will hit over 30 home runs with the Dodgers, and I also think James Outman will hit close to 30 home runs. I think there's going to be between Mookie, Freddie, Betts, or I already said, oh, sorry. Let me start that over. Mookie, Ohtani, Freeman, Muncy, Smith, Outman, and Teoscar. That's seven guys, I think, in this lineup that will all be 25-plus home runs.
Yeah. I mean, my bold take when you asked me last time, I said the Dodgers are going to break the single-season home run record as a team, and I stand by that.
Which is currently held by the 2023 Dodgers roster.
I thought it was the Braves. I'm pretty sure the Braves hold it.
Oh, I thought you just meant franchise record.
No, National League record.
Okay. Because the franchise record is last year, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me take a quick second right here to talk about our sponsor, TickPick. Opening day prices have plummeted. You can now get in the door at Dodger Stadium on Thursday for under $100. And I think the only place that you can get those exact prices is over on the TickPick app, because there are no service fees at checkout. If you don't want to go to a Dodger game anytime soon because you like to watch at home, or maybe you live elsewhere, well, you can go to pretty much any sporting event of your choice. NBA playoffs is near and around the corner. March Madness is in full swing if you want to get some last-minute deals to check out your college team that might be in the big dance. Or if you want to, you know, start shopping for NFL tickets or go to a concert, download the TickPick app right now. We've got some of our listeners using it. I know Steve got great deals to opening day and an exhibition game against the Dodgers. So it works, guys. Jake used TickPick as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to get into our predictions around the league and some hot takes and bold predictions. But while we do that, I would like the chat to ask any questions as well, whether it's a super chat or just a general question. We'll do some Q&A as well. This is one of my favorite parts of the show. So do you guys want to start with just MLB standings / first place division winners /wild card? Do you want to start there?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do National League and then American League.
Okay, then we'll start out East. NL East, who do you guys got winning the division, and add any wild card teams you think will represent that division?
I'm saying the Braves are going to win the East, no surprise. And the one wild card team that I have from the East is going to be the Phillies.
Okay.
I have the exact same thing. Braves taking the East, Phillies in the wild card.
That's all I got as well. All right, NL Central.
I think we should.
NL Central.
NL Central, I got the this was kind of a bit of a toss-up for me, but I went with the Cardinals. I was trying to figure out if I thought maybe the Cubs could sneak in there, which they possibly could. But I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up. I just like the Cardinals overall roster better than the Cubs.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Cincinnati Reds.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the Cardinals suck. I think their pitching rotation is heinous. It's one of the most disgusting rotations you've seen. And I think the Cubs are super
but it's
overrated.
It's got your boy Lance Lynn.
Yeah, says the yeah, Lance
okay.
Lynn guy.
All right. Well, he's one of five, so he's not the issue there.
What about Sonny Gray? Yes.
Who said Sonny Gray was coming to the Dodgers?
I actually really like Sonny Gray too, but as a whole and depth wise, it's going to fall apart. They're all going to get hurt. They're all bad. So I'm taking the Reds, and I think the Cardinals and the Cubs suck and miss the playoffs.
I've only got one team from the Central winning the division, and it's the St. Louis Cardinals as well. I just think their lineup is the most well-rounded, and I actually think the Reds pitching staff is far worse than the Cardinals pitching staff.
No way.
If your big signing in the offseason is Nick Martinez, then you're an absolute joke. You traded Luis Castillo away for a steroid user. The Reds are a disaster. They don't even know how to build a team, so they're going to miss the playoffs.
No, they have a really good bullpen. Hunter Green, Andrew Abbott are legit. They got Montas on a prove it deal. Lodolo, I like. So, and that offense, I think Ellie De La Cruz is going to be an all star. He's going to figure out his shit. They're going to win the division.
Who's the young shortstop they got?
Matt McClain.
McClain.
Yeah, his brother is a Dodgers prospect.
Yep.
Yeah,
they're good.
They're good, but I just can't go against Goldschmidt, Arenado, Contreras.
Oh, it's sick.
They're gonna figure this out. All right, NL West. Who wants to go first?
Maybe. All right. Oh, you want to go ahead?
I mean, we're all picked the Dodgers here.
I mean, yeah, it's the Dodgers. But any wild card for you, David?
Yeah, I have the Diamondbacks and I have the Padres making the playoffs.
In that order,
you're sticking with the Padres until they prove you right.
So Padres, they're your third place.
Oh yeah, I'm not done talking about them either. So I'm going Diamondbacks, Padres, Phillies.
Okay.
I have the Diamondbacks too, as a wild card.
Okay.
And I'm going with the Giants.
Oh, God, bro.
I think they're offseason. You're sleeping on their offseason.
I am not sleeping on anything.
Jorge Soler, Matt Chapman, Snell.
Robbie Ray.
Ass.
Those are bad players. Those are good players.
Don't forget the outfielder, Kim.
Yeah, they got Kim.
Wow.
I mean.
All right, so I'm literally – in the middle of you guys because I have the Padres. No, hold on. Let me talk.
First of all, it's not Kim. It's Jung Ho Lee. Okay. So you don't even know the guy's name. Both of you don't even know.
Let me talk. So I'm in the middle of you guys. I have the San Diego Padres as second place. And I actually have the San Francisco Giants in third place because I'm with Jake. They had a very under the radar offseason. And when you add Matt Chapman, Jorge Soler, Lee, my apologies, and then you beef up the rotation with Jordan Hicks, Blake Snell, Robbie Ray, they're going to be no joke. They already had a solid pitching staff last season, and they got a lot better. The Padres, I think people are kind of forgetting that they made the NLCS in 2022, and I don't care that they traded away Juan Soto because I think Fernando Tatis Jr. should bounce back. I think Manny Machado will bounce back. And they've got other guys like Bogarts, Cronenworth. I like the Dylan Cease acquisition big time. The team that I'm down on is the Arizona Diamondbacks. They had a terrible offseason. When your big moves are signing Donut, Jock Peterson, and E-Quit to your rotation, that's not serious at all.
E-Quit.
and E-Quit is hurt.
He is hurt.
Oh, you know who they might not even pitch all year. The All-Star break, maybe. And the other guy you didn't even mention is Kyle Harrison.
Who'd you say?
Robbie Ray is hurt.
Okay. Yeah, but he's going to come pitching. Back. And yeah.
Maybe coming back at the All-Star break. The other guy you haven't even mentioned is Kyle Harrison, who is their number one pitching prospect.
Yeah.
He's a lefty. Exactly. So you're getting the name of the outfielder wrong, and you're not even bringing up their best prospect pitcher, and you're still picking them to make the playoffs. This makes no sense. Matt Chapman is old and washed up and bad, and Jung Ho Lee can't hit for shit. He's a defensive guy. So, I'm not buying anything the Giants are selling. Bob Melvin is a quitter. Talk about a quitter, dude. He just up and left San Diego, and they just let him go to San Francisco because he's more comfortable there. Quitter manager, loser fan base, loser GM, loser fans, loser team.
Here's the thing. We've counted the Giants out before, and they've surprised us. So I'm going the opposite direction, and I'm going to believe this year that they're going to make some noise, and I think they have a good shot at making the playoffs.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
No. I mean, they could make the playoffs because there's three wild cards, but they suck.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, it could happen.
Logan Webb and Snell is good. Kyle Harrison is good. Offense is
horrible. You like Michael Conforto.
Yeah, but that's one guy. They have nothing.
You like Jorge Soler.
They have like nine of the same. I mean, it's different when you're putting an entire lineup of that. Like, who's hitting third?
I'm guessing Soler is one of the three hole hitters.
Okay, so do you like Jorge Soler as your three hitter, or do you like Jorge Soler and a Teoscar Hernandez?
Well, we didn't pick the Giants to win the division. I'm picking them as the sixth seed. I think they're the sixth best team in the National League.
I do like their top three in the rotation. Is the nicest thing I'll say.
They've got the makings of a playoff team. What I am most curious about, because I did pick the D-backs, because I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. You know, they won the NL pennant last year, so I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they can build on that success and that they will be good and will be there again. But there are so many question marks with that team and the Padres. So those are the two teams that I think have the most holes and question marks about them.
Any thoughts on why the Padres might be better than Jake thinks?
Me?
That was your cue, David.
Okay, sorry. I'm having internet issues.
No worries. Yeah, just
So, okay. The Padres, I think, is a classic situation of addition by addition by subtraction here. I think they cut Bob Melvin, who was and Juan Soto never really meshed with that. Soto went over there. Something was kind of weird. And I think you're going to see a reclaiming of agency from Fernando Tatis this year. I think he's comfortable in the outfield. And I think he's going to have a pretty monumental season overall. Their rotation is good. I like they got four starters who can shut down anybody. And they've spent money on the bullpen a little bit this year and last year. So I kind of like what they've done a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at each team's starting staff and the Diamondbacks honestly have the fourth worst. And their bullpen is kind of in shambles. One of their big guys, Sanfrak or however you pronounce it, they already optioned him to the minors. Paul Sewald's hurt. He could miss 2 months. I just think there's some big – and Equit is out for probably 2 months as well. One injury to Gallen or Merrill Kelly, and they're done. I didn't bring up Kyle Harrison because I was just specifically talking about the acquisitions. But, yeah, when you have Kyle Harrison and Logan Webb in that rotation, they're going to be a threat. So the NL West, I think four teams are going to finish above 500. I just happen to think the Diamondbacks are the fourth worst of those four.
I think the Giants are right at like 81 and 81.
I think they'll win 84, 85 games, and that's good enough. Anything else on that, or should we just finish off with American League?
Yeah, let's send it. Send it.
All right, I'll go first. NLE or AL East. I'm picking the Orioles to win the division. I'm picking the Yankees as a wild card, and I'm picking the Rays as another wild card. With the Gerrit Cole injury, that's too big of a red flag. So when Marcus Stroman is now one of your aces, they're going to be bad pitching-wise, the Yankees, that is. And Corbin Burns is a huge acquisition for Baltimore. They were already a 100-win team, and they only got better. I think Orioles are going to run away with that division.
Yeah, I have the Orioles too. And let me ask you about the Rays for a second. Are there big horses in their rotation? Are they coming back?
Yeah, in the second half.
Yeah.
McClanahan might not because he got hurt.
I'm not believing in the Rays this year. I looked at that roster and I'm not impressed. Nothing makes me excited about that roster. So I'm going Orioles as the division winner. And one of the wild card teams is going to be the Blue Jays for me.
No Yankees.
I mean, without Gerrit Cole, I don't know. And even though Stanton looks great in spring training, the injury proneness to him and Judge, I just don't trust it. And they didn't do enough this offseason, despite the Juan Soto acquisition, which I think is
going to be good. Come on.
I mean,
Juan to say they didn't do enough, come on. Ridiculous.
They got Juan Soto. What else
did
they
do?
That's a pretty big
move.
Guy to get.
Is that enough?
You know who would love Juan Soto? The Giants.
Is that enough? Is Juan Soto enough?
They have Mike Yastrzemski just patrolling all three outfield positions.
I don't believe in the Blue Jays at all. I think they're going to be big sellers at the deadline.
Okay, we'll see.
Okay, so I have the Orioles winning the division as well. And I have the Yankees and the Blue Jays also making it. I think Soto is a huge impact player for that team. And I think the issues that they have. Him and Judge are going to go pretty crazy if they can both stay healthy. But the pitching, I got to say, I cannot wait to see Marcus Stroman suck for them. That is a top three storyline in my season. I hate that guy. I'm rooting for him to fail. And I will love it. Love it when he goes online and starts crying about Yankee fans after he gives up four runs in two innings. That is the top three storyline I'm looking forward to this year. But I still think they make the playoffs.
Their pitching staff is just does not impress me.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But I think the offense just kind of carries him.
Okay.
Yep. AL Central. I just have the Twins. That's it.
Yeah, me too. I know you have the Tigers, right?
My Tigers are winning that division, dude.
Tigers are led by an awful manager. They're going nowhere.
Well, I mean, he's been to the playoffs many times. So
honestly, like, that division is probably the most wide open division of all of them. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Tigers won it. But I'm going with the Twins because they have the most complete team and they've been there before.
They suck. Every year, same team.
No. Good enough to make the playoffs.
It's like it's a flip every year between Cleveland and Minnesota, but this time Cleveland ain't going.
Minnesota, good enough. Yeah, and then they have Uber drivers pitching in the playoffs against the Yankees.
Rebecca says the White Sox could be a dark horse. Yeah, I don't think this
year. But they're loaded up. I will say they are loaded up. And then last but not least, the AL West. Kills me to say it. Houston Astros are winning the division, and the Texas Rangers get back in. That's all I got.
So I have the Astros winning the division too, and I have the Rangers making the wild card and the Mariners.
Okay, I was wondering what your last team was going to be.
Yeah.
I have the Rangers still winning that division, and I have the Astros getting a wild card. It was either between Seattle or Toronto for me. I feel like that's always every year with those two teams.
All right. Yeah. MVP, who's winning the AL MVP? I'll go first. This will make Justin Yamas happy. Juan Soto is my AL MVP. I think he'll hit 50. I think he'll hit 50 home runs.
I have Soto as well.
Wow. Okay. I'm going Julio Rodriguez. Okay. I think he's gonna have a monster year. And carry that team to the playoffs.
I hope so. That'd be fun.
AL Cy Young,
I have Kevin Gausman. I think the Cole injury opens it up to a lot of people.
Okay.
Kevin Gausman is one of the most baseball.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Contract year, Boris Client, new team. Corbin Burns wins his second Cy Young as he enters free agency.
Yeah, I had Burns as well. I just think that being on a new team and a team that is most likely going to win that division, he's going to be awesome for them.
He'll have the run support. All right, just going to throw it out there as my final thing. I'm going to say the Astros make the World Series.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. We didn't do
that. That rounds out the American League for me. So now we can do National.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Unless you guys want to throw that prediction out there.
No.
Okay. NL MVP. Who's winning?
Go ahead, David.
Sorry. It was NL MVP.
NL MVP.
Okay. I alluded to this earlier, but you're not going to like it and people aren't going to like it. And you're going to bring this up to me again at the end of your show when they miss the playoffs. But I'm taking Fernando Tatis Jr. to win the MVP. I think
I don't hate the pick.
I think people have gotten over the whole ringworm steroid thing. And I think he's primed for a big year.
If he can put up like that plus 20 defensive run saved in the outfield again, he could for sure do it.
Kevin?
I'm going Shohei Ohtani. I think he explodes.
Just with the bat.
I think he'll be the first DH in the National League to win the MVP, or maybe the first DH ever.
I'm going with Shohei's teammate, Mookie Betts. He finished second in NL MVP last year. He looks absolutely locked in all spring. He had, I believe, 6 RBIs in game 2 already this season. I don't think that the fact that he's playing shortstop or second base or whatever is going to affect him at the plate because he's determined. He hated the way that the season ended for him last year, just going 0-for for the playoffs. He's pissed. He's locked in. I'm getting behind Mookie Betts this year.
Lastly, NL Cy Young.
NL Cy Young.
For me, It's the Atlanta Braves own Spencer Strider.
Oh, that was who I had.
All right, you guys are boring.
Well, I was kind of waffling between him and like Zach Wheeler. I feel like one or two of them is going to be one and two with them, but I pick Strider.
All right. Well, speaking of potential steroid takers, I'm going to go ahead and pick a guy who is on your playoff team and pitches deep into ball games and happens to be a close personal friend as well.
Oh, goodness.
Logan Young.
Did you say Logan Webb?
Clearly.
Yep. Logan Webb.
Okay. You cut out. That's why I was asking.
It was a very dramatic reveal also. I'm kind of sad you missed that.
I know. Well,
we heard it all. We just didn't hear the name.
We saw it in your face.
Okay. Well, it's Logan Webb. But they missed the playoffs.
He was second last year, I think.
Yeah, he should get one. He's really fucking good, unfortunately.
I just think Spencer Strider is like the next superstar pitcher, so he'll take home his first.
Are we doing Rookie of the Year also or no?
Go for it. I didn't write anything down. I don't really care about. I don't even know. I can't even name you. Evan Carter, I guess.
Yeah, that's my AL pick. And in the NL, I just wanted to do this just because I'm kind of thinking it's going to be a pitcher. I'm not taking Yamamoto, but I'm going to take Shoto Imanaga, the guy I wanted the Dodgers to sign, who looks fucking great for the Cubs.
We'll see him in Japan in 2025 when the Dodgers and the Cubs face off in Tokyo. If not this year, but all right. I don't really see any questions. If you have any questions, chat, feel free to drop those real quick. We're signing off soon. Hit that like button if you haven't yet, and make sure you're subscribing to this podcast. Any Dodgers predictions or hot takes that you guys were saving in the reserves and haven't thrown them out there yet?
Yeah, I just have a few to throw at you real quick. I think Freddie Freeman finishes in the top five. Not top five. Top three in NL MVP voting. And
like last year.
Yep, just like last year. And I have this is my bold take. Okay, just prefacing by saying that. But Glasnow, Yamamoto, and Miller. Top five in Cy Young voting.
How many games are we going to win? 130?
Damn right. I told you, it's a bold take.
All right, you want my bold take?
Yeah, bold it up.
None of them finish in the top seven.
Damn, okay.
No Dodgers finishing in the top seven MVP?
No, you said Cy Young, I thought.
Oh, Cy Young.
I said Cy Young.
Yeah, okay. No.
I don't think
all three of those guys will finish in the top seven.
Go ahead. Getting bold. Bobby Miller will be a Cy Young Award finalist. I think he's going to lead the Dodgers in wins. Tyler Glasnow will lead the Dodgers in strikeouts. And Yamamoto will lead the Dodgers in innings pitched and probably FIP.
Yep.
And it's not an indictment. I'm not saying that as an indictment of the players. I just think injuries are going to happen, and I don't think they're going to get enough innings to be in contention, really. I mean, Glasnow, we are holding our breath every time he walks. Yamamoto's a rookie, and then Bobby Miller also is not well-established in terms of throwing 200 innings. So
is it a bold take to even say that Glasnow is going to be healthy the whole season?
Yeah, it is a bold take. He's never, ever done that, really.
Well, I'm hoping that changes this year.
Tyler Glasnow is so good, he's going to finish behind Spencer Strider in strikeouts. Fully believe.
I hope so.
He was the most under-the-radar trade acquisition, given just his bad reputation. The fact that we only had to give up Ryan Pepiot, who's been completely shelled in spring training, for Tyler Glasnow, it's just a testament to Andrew Freeman and Brandon Gomes for finding an absolute stud. because Glasnow figured out his elbow issues. He's going to be hopefully healthy all season long. And we've seen him in spring training and already in one game. This guy has the nastiest curveball probably in all of Major League Baseball right now.
Just needs to stay healthy.
All right.
I hate making these predictions because I know I'm going to get hosed at the end of the year.
Yeah.
All right. People asked about him, Michael Carrillo as well. I already kind of said this, but what month does Pajes make the roster? July. I think that was one of my takes. He'll take Hayward's spot in the outfield. I don't know if you guys feel like Pajes will be a major leaguer at this point as well.
I think it'll be later than we think.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to throw out some final bold predictions out there so they're on record. Gavin Stone, I have him making the playoff roster. Landon Knack and River Ryan, they'll make some major league debuts later on this year. James Paxton is going to surprisingly be one of our most durable pitchers. I already said the four teams in the NLS will finish above 500. Dodgers Astros is my World Series pick. Kyle Hurt will shine as a high leverage guy. And Michael Grove, Ryan Yarbrough will be off the Dodgers roster. Miguel Rojas will be almost unserviceable because they're going to trade for a shortstop, whether it's Bo Bichette or Willy Adames. I really see that coming down the pipeline as the Dodgers shore up this defensive mess that they currently roster. Hey, don't laugh at that rumor. Dodgers were linked to him this past offseason.
Why would they ever trade him?
I think he's coming up on his contract year.
So pay him.
Yeah, they're trying.
Top three short baseball. You don't just trade him. They're trying to win. They were just trying to sign Shohei Ohtani.
They were. They
did temporarily on a plane, kind of.
I think that was JP Hornstra.
Yeah, I don't even buy that bullshit. I know that they were in the mix, but who knows if he was even if they were even second place.
Well, they were clearly willing to pay north of $500-600 million. So I think they can afford to pay Bo Bichette $200 million.
I don't know.
I do.
I really couldn't tell you. I mean, it just depends where Bo Bichette wants to be. Does he want to be in Canada?
I would trade the entire farm system outside of Josue de Paula for Bo Bichette.
I don't think I would trade rushing for him, but I would trade, and I wouldn't trade River Ryan, but I think
in a heartbeat for me.
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
I thought about it.
That's all I got. Anything else, guys?
No.
I don't have any really hot takes. No, I already said my bold prediction was the home run thing.
Jake, I feel like you're normally more out there and you got these crazy takes that come back to bite you, but you're dialing it back this time.
I mean, I just hate making these predictions because I'm cursed. So we'll see. I mean, the Cy Young thing might be a little bit out there, but I'm keeping it reasonable this year.
No 40-10.
No,
this is the year to do that.
No, well, last year was the year to do that because that was the bold take. It's not a real bold take to say they're going to be 40-10 in the first month.
All right. Well, they're 1-1 right now. So
We're 0-0. We're going into the season coming up on Thursday.
Okay.
We're 1-1. Lance Lynn, I hope, faces the Dodgers, and they're going to absolutely pummel that fat lard. That's what I have to leave at to close out the show. Payback is a bitch, Lance Lynn. Payback is a bitch.
4 runs, not that bad, dude.
Oh, my
God. It's just dramatic because they were all home runs.
Only a record.
It felt It felt way worse than it was.
Should have been.
It felt way worse than it was because we couldn't score all series.
Would have been 5 home runs too. One of them went foul. Just atrocious. And now Nick Nastri is going to be an all-star. Wonderful.
Yeah, I agree with Aaron Vaughn. I think Lance Lynn might dick us down. Like David's right. Sometimes bad pitchers just own us for some reason.
I can't. Not the righties. It's the lefties. Right. Every time we face Lance Lynn, we get him. We literally, people forget, in 2020 we broke his trade value because they absolutely shelled him.
He's a good player.
And he's right-handed, so I might get on board with that, actually.
He's a horse.
All right. That is going to conclude today's episode, everyone. The Incline Dodgers podcast ready to kick off the 2024 season at Dodger Stadium with the Los Angeles Dodgers at 1-1. Incline Dodgers presented by TickPick and FanSided, like I said at the top of the show. So make sure you're subscribing to the Incline Dodgers podcast. If you're listening on the audio feed, hit that subscribe button. If you're watching on the YouTube platform right now, let us know in the comment section how many wins you think the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to win this season. That's the show, folks. We are out.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.